This program is a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. It is prepared as part of a series for Lenten season using the readings in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to this podcast homily for the third Sunday in Lent. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They, as well as the entire AIC archive of hundreds of homilies on various topics, can also be accessed through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page at the same site. The epistle reading for the third Sunday in Lent is Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 14, an extended reading from the pen of St. Paul, and which once again this week focuses on St. Paul's teaching concerning mastering one's passions. He again mentions specific acts that represent surrender to passions, either of the mind or the body, fornication, covetousness, and idolatry. Like his fellow apostle St. John the Evangelist and theologian, he stresses the concept of Christ as the light which aids us in our daily life in a world of spiritual darkness. Accepting Jesus Christ as Son of God and Savior makes the faithful become children of light. For a more extended discussion of these technical terms, especially covetousness and fornication, see the respective entries in the AIC bookstore publication, The Layman's Lexicon, in which I relate these and other Christian teachings in everyday language. Layman's Lexicon is available in paperback and Kindle at www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. The Gospel reading for Third Sunday in Lent is Luke 11:14-28. The healing of many by the casting out of devils, demons, and evil spirits, a process, by the way, which is known to modern ears as exorcism. When Jesus drove the demon from the mute man in 11:15, his Jewish critics accused him of using the power of Beelzebub, a title of Satan in Latin from the Vulgate Bible of St. Jerome. The name Beelzebub is a corruption of the name of the Philistine god Baal-Zebub, the god of Ekron, described in 2 Kings 1:2. In Hebrew, the name Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies, a derisive name made up by the Jews to diminish the legitimacy of the Philistine god Baal-Zebub. Make no mistake, both Jesus and the Jews are speaking of Satan, the devil, Ha-Satan, the adversary in Hebrew, the evil one, Tanpaneros in Greek. Jesus' defense in Luke 11:20 gives us the first of two lessons in theology in this reading. Here, using a phrase that occurs nowhere else in the New Testament. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. In the Old Testament, in Exodus 31:18 and Deuteronomy 9:10, both sets of the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments were said to have been carved by the finger of God. In Christian theology, the Holy Spirit is effectively the finger of God, being the divine person through whom the Father's actions affect human beings and are delivered to human beings. Another Old Testament phrase with the same meaning is the hand of God. A celestial finger touching Adam is a common form of artistic representation of God's presence in creation in the Western church tradition. The fathers of the early church taught that when Jesus spoke of what happens when an evil spirit is driven out, that is, that it may go and find other evil spirits to come back and reoccupy the body in greater numbers, and you'll find that in 11, 24, 25, and 26, he is telling us to think of the human soul as a house that is meant to be occupied, and that if this house, meaning the soul, is left empty for any length of time, something will fill the void. Christians must understand that the evil one, whom St. Peter warned roams the world like a rampaging lion, seeking in this context to come in and devour our souls, will come in if we allow a void to develop. In Christian teaching, avoiding such a fate means daily practice of the teachings of the Christian faith, that is, regular church attendance on Sundays and participation with other Christians in local faith communities. Near the end of the reading, having heard Jesus' remarks to the critics, a woman in the crowd shouted, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that you sucked." Jesus' response still puzzles many, especially literal-minded Christians in the Western church tradition. I think that is because the choice of words in the King James Version, which is used for the prayer book reading, may leave the impression that Jesus is questioning the blessedness of the Virgin Mary, his earthly mother, when he says, "Rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Rather literally means other than. Here, I think the New King James Version offers a more accurate translation based upon what was actually said in the original Greek, where the word is menunj, which means not other than, but more than that. That difference is important. Rather, other than, versus the Greek menunj, more than. Here's the full text of Luke 11:28 in the New King James Version. "But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." At the Council of Ephesus, the Fourth Ecumenical Council, which met at the city of Ephesus in 431 A.D., the church ruled that Mary is entitled to be called Mother of God, or Theotokos, or Birth Giver of God. In traditional early Christian understanding, Mary was chosen owing to her righteous life and her obedience to the Lord's instruction. Mary, like her husband Joseph, heard the word of the Lord, and in Mary's case, expressed by the Archangel Gabriel at the Annunciation, and she kept it. I explore the concept of obedience as a virtue in the video for the fifth day of Christmas, December 29th, in the AIC series Reflections on the 12 Days of Christmas, which can be viewed using the links on the digital library page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. While we should understand that Mary is, as the woman said, blessed, Jesus' clarification improves upon the woman's understanding. Mary's righteousness was not the issue. Mary is not the source of righteousness. Mary cannot grant a state of righteousness. That task and authority remains solely with God the Father. As Jesus said, "Blessed is he who hears the word of the Lord and keeps it." I explore the many uses of the word blessed in the book of Psalms in part 3 of the AIC bookstore publication, Christian Spirituality, An Anglican Perspective, available from the same Amazon page that I mentioned earlier. Again this week, there are two closing prayers, a Lenten prayer by Richard, Bishop of Chichester, England, in the 13th century, followed by the Collect for the third Sunday in Lent, which Archbishop Cranmer adapted from the Gregorian sacramentary of the late 6th and early 7th century for inclusion in the Book of Common Prayer. Thanks be to thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits which thou hast given us, for all the pains and insults which thou hast borne for us. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, who with the Father and thy all-holy and life-giving Spirit liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We beseech thee, Almighty God, look upon the hearty desires of thy humble servants, and stretch forth the right hand of thy majesty to be our defense against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.